get ready for the journey of a lifetime. Omega Metroid is excited to launch a new series exclusive to our Patreon channel, The Great Metroid Area Ranking. Our mission is simple. We are going to rank every single area in the Metroid series two at a time. Join us on our Patreon as we delve into all the different locales across this amazing series and get in on the action by helping dictate what areas we rank next. The Great Metroid Area Ranking is available to all Omega Metroid tier patrons. Join us on this incredible adventure and help us decide for the final time which Metroid area is the greatest of them all. OmegaMetroid.com's Patreon is the home to the Great Metroid Area Ranking, ROM Hack Reviews, The Spiteri Show, and so much more. Consider signing up today and see you next mission. Welcome to the Zelda cast here on ZeldaDungeon.net. My name is Andy Spiteri, joined as always by Allison Aletha. What's up, Al? How are ya?
Who else would it be? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Maybe it'd be Gooey. Maybe it'd be. It wouldn't be Cory, actually.
Yeah. Aw.
No, definitely not Cory.
Great.
You know what? It's been a while, actually, since I've seen him poke his head around in our Discord and poke holes into our podcast.
He probably got tired of listening to us, to be honest. Like, he's just so tired of these guys.
Or I dealt him a defeat so devastating, so humiliating, that he did not have the gusto to come back.
Oh my god.
That's what I actually think happened.
Okay.
What were we talking about? We were just talking about how we are. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have, let's change the subject. I have D&D today.
Okay.
So I'm excited, and yeah, it's going to be a good day. Mm. I'm also excited that it's March. I'm over winter. Like, I just need it to be spring, so yay.
Actually, it started snowing here, like, crazy yesterday. Probably, like, I don't know, like a foot almost. It was nuts. Whatever.
I hate that for you.
Yeah. You know, like, as long as it's, like, the last one, like, that's kind of okay. Like, Link likes it, so, I mean, I can put up with it, but mm-hmm. And I like, I mean, I work from home, so like I don't have to drive anywhere either, which is a big part of that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm ready for summer too, like, or just spring, or like not cold, you know. It's
not cold.
I'm ready to be
need
over
some
it.
More sunlight, some vitamin D. Just gives me some energy, and so I can go out and do the stuff I need to do with my life.
A little less Hebra, a little more Lanayru, if you know what I'm saying. Actually, Lanayru is kind of cold too. Maybe like
depends on where you are, Lanayru.
That's like, true. Why? Yeah. I can never remember the tropical name, Nekluda?
Faron. But, like, Nekluda is, like, in between Lanayru and Faron.
That's right. I don't know why. I just can't, like, remember what that place is ever called for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like that in Breath of the Wild, too. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a me thing. But, all right. Well, let's get into it here. We've got a great show, and we're actually doing back-to-back Twilight Princess shows. So, indeed, we are going to be following up on our episode from last week where we ranked the bosses and pretty much said nothing but amazing things about these bosses. So for all you haters that say that I never give Twilight Princesses flowers, go listen to last week's show and listen to this week's show too, because this is going to be a lot of the same thing. I think that the mini bosses in a lot of ways are as, if not stronger, than the main bosses here. So I'm excited to talk about these. But first, I have some shilling to do here on my own. And I guess I'll just get started with, do you know what movie I watched on Friday night, Al?
What movie did you watch Dune 2, like everybody else is watching?
I didn't, actually, but I am really looking forward to going to see that.
Okay.
No, I watched one of the biggest movies in the history of cinema, smash hit, number one at the box office for over 12 years. I watched James Cameron's Titanic.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good movie.
It was honestly an awesome movie. I hadn't watched it since I was like 12 or 13 or something. This movie is so awesome. It's so awesome. Honestly, Man, I know people make fun of it and people kind of meme it and stuff like that, but when you watch it in context, this movie is wicked. And I'm bringing this up because I watched that for the latest episode of the Spiteri's Review, which is available on the virtual tier on our Patreon. So patreon.com/SPNet, or at least it was. Now I have a little announcement to make here. We're taking the Spiteri's Review and we're taking it to its own podcast platform. So starting this month, I said I would never do it. Here I am doing it. I have a fourth podcast with
Andy.
I have another podcast, another damn podcast, that me and my wife Sam are co-hosting. This is going to be monthly or like monthly-ish. We're not going to put like a firm timeline on it or anything like that because we want it to be fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Spiteri's Review is going to be on its own dedicated channel and everything like that. So we're going to be creating a Discord in the next couple of days here. So everybody, please come in and join that. We'll slowly trickle out the episodes that we've previously done for Patreon as well. So stuff like Titanic, stuff like Cowboy Bebop, stuff like Twilight. Yep, Twilight. So that'll be slowly coming out as well over the next little bit here. And I guess to kind of offset that, this is going to be a little bit of inside baseball, but Goo and I have had a virtual theater Patreon for years and years and years and years and years, like 4 years now, and we have hundreds of episodes. So now all of that stuff is going to slowly be migrating its way over to the SPNet Patreon as well. So just wanted to let everybody know that, one, Spiteri's Review, it's going to be its own show, and you're going to see that show coming up. Probably the debut episode is going to be later this month, and I'll give you a hint about what that show is going to be. You'd have to get yourself a gun. So that's going to be our first show. The second thing is that, like, all of our Patreon stuff that Goo and I did is over on the SPNet side now, and it's still basically the same price, $2 a month. Sign up, get a bunch of bonus shows, tons of stuff. There's commentaries, there's movie stuff, there's wrestling stuff, music stuff. We got like a little Green Day series going on right now. Goo and I both really love Green Day, so we're doing like an anthology retrospective, if you will. So that's what we got going on right now. But the other thing that I wanted to mention as well, what I'm going to be working on today and tomorrow is for any person that signs up to the lowest tier of the SPNet Patreon, so $1 a month, I'm going to upload our entire 13-episode catalog reviewing the original Legend of Zelda cartoon. So nice. So that's going to be up there. These episodes are hilarious. I'm pretty sure that I actually put one on the main channel once when, like, you and I couldn't do an episode or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I put, like, the episode number one of the show on, and I was laughing my ass off just, like, editing it and making it safe for work, so to speak. So that's going to be all up on the SPNet Patreon as well. So a few things that we got going on that side. So just wanted to let everybody know that indeed there's a fourth Spiteri podcast coming out into this world. Now this one, like I said, is going to be a little bit, it's not going to be weekly. It's not going to be anything like that. We're going to try and do it monthly. We might even take a break here and there, but something that Sam and I are going to be doing. And Al, you've listened to a couple of the shows. What do you think of the Spiteri's Review? I think that, like, Sam keeps on getting better and better and better with each month of her podcasting.
I have a fun time, and I like hearing a lot of other opinions aside from yours, because I hear yours every week. So
yeah, I get that.
It's nice to hear from Sam, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it's always fun when you have different, you know, co-hosts. So I like hearing from Sam, and I also just like, especially if it's a movie that I enjoy, so like Titanic, I'm sure I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on it. I love the Twilight episode. I know you guys were goofing a lot during that episode, but I had a blast because Twilight was like a huge part of my adolescence and teenagehood. So, you know, I really enjoyed getting your guys' perspective as like, especially you, because you hadn't really, like, watched it the first time around. You kind of did, but not really. And then Sam doesn't remember it from 15 years ago. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, like, I thought that it was a good time. Twilight was a good time. But, like, specifically Titanic, like, and Goo, it kind of told me, he's like, this movie's not what you remember. Like, it's going to be a good time. And I was like, yeah, okay, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was, like, really, really impressed, actually, with that movie. Like, it's way better than I think people remember. And scary.
That's weird to hear that, because in my realm of, I guess, existence, people love that movie. So I didn't really know it was like a meme that people didn't like. I thought it was really good. I think it's like really dramatic. I think it really grips you. And gosh, I remember watching it back in the day, and it was like two VHS cassettes. You
Oh
have to like turn
yeah.
one and then change it to the other.
Yeah, like the Final Fantasy VII style where you gotta switch discs. You know what? I think it's just 'cause like in my circle, like I mean when it came out, like I was a young boy, right? So like the thing was like, oh, this movie's lame. It's just like a stupid love story. It's blah blah blah. Like King of the World and draw me like your French girl or whatever. So like there's stuff that you could make fun of in the movie, right? Like but like I don't know. Now I feel like it's way better than I ever remember it being. And yeah, if you were kind of just like eh, like me, that your lasting memory of Titanic is like ah, it's just kind of like this lame love story. Like this movie, give it another chance because you're gonna come away very impressed. So that being said, that's my announcement. That's my shilling. That's my plugging. Spiteria's review is going to be on its own podcast platform. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's going to be hosted, of course, over on Podbean. So yeah, look forward to that. And if you're sick of one Spiteria, you can have another one that maybe will balance me out. Because you're not the only one, Al. Let me tell you that.
I love it.
Let me tell you that. Okay, let's talk about this Twilight Princess game yet again. I said this last week. I'll say it again. I wrote an article many years ago on Zelda Dungeon. You can still find it there. And my article was inspired by I was watching something on TSN, so like the sports channel in Canada, and it's like how to build the perfect hockey player. You need like the hands of Sidney Crosby, the skating of Connor McDavid, the vision of Wayne Gretzky, et cetera, right? So I was kind of like, I wonder how you'd build the perfect Zelda game. Like, what elements would you take from each game? And I distinctly remember when I took something from Twilight Princess, I took the bosses because I think that the bosses are so good. And we talked about the bosses yesterday, and I think our biggest stinker on that list was Armagoma. And even that one I feel like is kind of fun and like a nice little break and a nice little palate cleanser. And I'm taking a look at this list of mini bosses, and I feel like it's really strong, almost just as strong as I said.
Yeah, and I appreciate that there's like so many mini bosses too. Like you have a lot in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, but they're all the same. Like the same four or five, you know? But with this, you have like a huge different roster, and I really appreciate that. I think it's a lot of fun, and it gives you a little challenge that prepares you for the boss fight.
Yeah, so there and a lot of these, like we talked about yesterday, like I think some of these mini bosses are directly better than some of the bosses in their respective dungeons. So I'm pretty excited to talk about these. We're gonna do it the same way that we did it last year. By the way, actually, before we do anything, what we should do is wish a happy birthday to The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the
Oh
Wild,
yeah, that's today.
and the Nintendo Switch for that matter as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? While we're doing that, we should wish a happy birthday to OmegaMetroid.com, which also launched today 3 years ago.
Oh,
So lots of
well,
stuff
heck
that, yeah, lots of
yeah.
stuff.
Well, this today is a good day.
It's a great day. Yeah, maybe it was 2 years ago, actually. I can't remember. But anyways, so happy birthday to Breath of the Wild, one of the greatest Zelda games of all time. And then yeah, we'll definitely have some more to say about Breath of the Wild and the Switch and Tears of the Kingdom and its impact in the couple weeks going forward here, as I think that this era kind of closes. But yeah, let's do this definitive ranking style with these Twilight Princess mini bosses. You know how that goes. Everybody knows how that goes. We rank one, and we put them on the list, and then we rank the second boss, and we either put it above or below. The third boss is ranked and either goes in the number one spot, two spot, three spot, so on and so forth until all of these bosses are on this list and ranked accordingly. So I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's get started.
All right, so we are going to use Zelda Dungeon's Twilight Princess walkthrough, by the way, for a list of all these bosses here. So let's get started with one of the strongest mini bosses in the game, I think, and that's my boy Ook. Ook, and I was about to say gorilla. He's not a gorilla. Baboon, baboon. That's
Baboon,
what he
yeah.
is. He's got the big red butt that is his weak point. And this is a great fight. So Ook has stolen the Gale Boomerang and is like on top of these like six little pillars. In Horizon Forbidden West, you could just shoot through the top of those pillars and pull yourself up.
Oh
But
yeah.
not in Twilight Princess. In Twilight Princess, what you have to do is once Ook is dancing and he's doing his thing on top of the pillars, you need to roll into Ook, and I think you need to roll twice actually, and then he'll fall right on his face, and then you slash his butt like a couple different times, and it's a great fight, like simple fight, but there's something again I feel like just like so charming about Ook, the monkey that just speaks to me, and you know what. I think that it fits thematically with the dungeon as well, because like the whole gimmick of the forest temple is like you got to rescue all the monkeys, and so you have this baboon that's kind of been tricked or trapped into being a bad guy. He's got like the little twilight bug literally up his butt that's causing him to go crazy, and Ook, of course, as we know, makes an appearance in the Diababa fight to kind of redeem himself for you. So I think that this is a great fight, actually. It's simple, it's clever, not too hard, but like, I don't know, I quite like this fight. I could see this one ranking like towards the top for me. Maybe not the top, but like towards the top.
I would say, like, I feel like this mini boss fight is very memorable, but I think it's just honestly okay. Like, you just bump into the pillars, you knock him over, and then you wail on him, and then you get the boomerang at the end, and yeah, he's got like a twilight bug that you destroy, and then you discover like he's just totally, he's good, he's fine. But I don't know, I think it's a fun time, and I remember it well, but at the same time, I'm like, there's other mini boss fights that are better than this.
You slash him in his butt.
Okay.
Does that count for nothing? Like, the bug,
it's okay,
is on his butt.
No, it's not, it's on his head.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it's like taking over his brain, it's like a parasite.
Well, I don't know, I guess like you're not wrong, like the fight isn't that involved or anything like that. I don't know, I think it's because I just find this baboon character charming, and maybe, mm-hmm. I could probably admit to you, Al, that like maybe some of my feelings for this mini boss fight actually comes in the form of like him kind of showing back up in the final boss fight, because I think that these two fights work like really, really well in tandem together, mm-hmm. Maybe more so than a lot of these other fights on this list. Which is, like, also something that Zelda doesn't do super, super often. Like, the mini-boss usually doesn't have a whole lot to do with the final boss. And I think maybe it should.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know. I really like this fight. It's not going to rank number one. But I would contend that it could be, you know, a higher spot, potentially. So, well, I'll tell you what. It's number one for right now. How about that?
Yeah, it is. That's true.
Now, that being said, it's going to be number one for right now, but not for long. Because I think that the next fight is, again, one of the top contenders for our fight. And that is, of course, Dan Goro. This guy is like, God, he's like Andre the Giant, except he's got metal plating all around him. And very small legs.
You want to know something? This is a little sidebar. But do you ever notice that in like Tears of the Kingdom, a lot of the characters have really long torsos but really short legs?
I can't say like, that I like noticed that.
And Raru and like a lot of the Rito, they have really short legs but really long torsos. And I was noticing that yesterday while I was playing, well, re-noticing it, and I was like, so odd. But yeah, it's the same with Dan Goro. He's got really short legs but a very long, large body.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing about his legs too is that they're, you know, they're not like, I mean, I'm sure they're muscular, but they're not like as muscular as the rest of his frame. Those poor little legs have got to be buckling under all that mass. But
he never skips leg day. Let's just say that. He's got strong legs.
I guess so. But again, I think that this fight is... I actually think that this mini-boss fight is like significantly better than the Fyrus fight. And I like the Fyrus fight. Don't get me wrong. But the Dan Goro fight, I feel like the setting is awesome. You're on this, I don't even know what you call it, like a half cylinder? Half sphere? Half sphere, that's a better way to put it, yeah. You're on a half sphere that's covered in... covers
where the weight is.
Where the weight is, and you got to put your magnetic boots on, and it's a nice callback to the goat herding. Kind of the goat herding. And the sumo wrestling and everything like that. And Dan Goro's going nuts, and he's gonna try and spike you right off the edge, right into the lava where the half sphere is hovering about or hovering over, and you gotta grab him and toss him in. It's a great boss fight. It's like, it's pretty involved, and like the premise is simple enough, but like actually like getting in practice, like your boots on and catching him, it can be quite hectic if you're like, mm-hmm. once he kind of throws you off your pattern or your rhythm, it can be challenging to catch back up. And the music for this is cool too.
I mean, I agree. I definitely like this more than Ook. And I think Dan Goro, it's like nothing personal. He's just protecting, you know, his chief or whatever. And he's like, I can't let you go forward. And then I almost feel bad for him at the end, because I think you like throw him off the last time and he comes back up and he's like, okay, I'm done. And I feel bad. I'm like, I'm sorry, but you were in my way, man.
Yeah.
You know? So it definitely is like more interesting when it's not just a monster that you're fighting, like what we were talking about with Ook. It's like somebody who's good and you're just like, they're either, you know, standing in your way or you're trying to actually save them. So yeah, I like Dan Goro. I like the premise of it. You're right. It can be a bit hectic, and I appreciate it, and I think it's actually quite a fun time. So yeah.
I've definitely put it number one for sure. Number one above Ook. Yeah, like again, I kind of have a soft spot, I feel like, for mini bosses that are part of like the overarching story rather than like enemies that just kind of like show up, you know what I mean? Not that an enemy that shows up can't be awesome, it can, but the, I just like, yeah, there's something about having like just something that means a little bit more to the overall temple, to the overall theme, that I really appreciate. So yeah, Dan Goro, he's going in number one, and that means that Ook has went to number two. Let's go into our third mini boss here, Al, and I'll let you kick this one off. The Shadow Karkarok.
So the Shadow Karkarok, that's the one where you are at Lake Hylia and you play the little flute or whatever, or you howl and this guy comes to pick you up, and or do you fight him first? And then there's one that picks you up and takes you through the cavern.
That's right. So you're in wolf form. I believe you're still stuck in the Twilight Realm. You're collecting the Tears of Light here, and you got to fight this guy, and I think he has a moblin on his back to begin with. I can't remember that for sure, but I'm pretty sure he does. But you gotta fight this boss, and then it's not my favorite boss, actually, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of waiting around for him, and
yeah,
and I don't know, there's something about and listen, like maybe after, like, because what you do after is he picks you up as Wolf Link and you go through the tunnel in Lake Hylia and you got to get the tears and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. And that's not really a part that I enjoy about Twilight Princess at all, actually.
Yeah.
So my feelings because of that to this boss are kind of like, yeah. But I think it just as like a boss fight itself too, like a mini boss fight. It's just kind of like, yeah. It's great. It's all right
too. Like another thing that kind of hinders it is you fight these like similar ones. I don't know if they're as big or the same. But you fight more of them like throughout your journey.
Yeah.
And so, and they make this like really weird honking noise. And yeah. And like, I think it's fine as an, like, it's like bottom of the barrel mini boss to me though.
I agree that I would have a hard time picturing a mini boss that would
I rank honestly didn't lower than this. A mini boss until I was looking at the list that we're using. So
yeah, I feel like kind of bad because I do think that the stuff that you do immediately after does have an influence to me on my ranking here. But like this fight just isn't really like that captivating. Like I've played this fight a bunch of times, and like you sit there and you have to wait like forever for your opportunity to jump on it. Bite, and mm-hmm. you have to do that at least two times, maybe three. Maybe there's like some crazy speed boot or speed runner gimmick that you can do to do it in one cycle, but I don't know that cycle, and I think that most people don't either. So to me, it's just kind of like, okay, like let's get this over with, like let's get this fight going here, especially because of the context of when this fight takes place, where you are for the third time collecting Tears of Light, and you're just like. Yeah.
I think there's another similar fight that comes up next that is, it's a lot similar in a way, but it's a lot more hectic. It's a lot more involved. It's a lot more creepy. So yeah. I just feel like it kind of is overshadowed greatly by other things, especially something that happens like directly after it. So,
yeah, I agree. So are we in agreement that the Shadow Karkarok is numero 3-0?
At the bottom, and probably will stay there.
He probably will, yeah, to be honest with you. Sorry, Mr. Karkarok. But to your point, the next boss fight, I think, is a vast improvement. And same kind of idea here. So the Twilight Bloat, this is that disgusting bug. I don't know, what is this thing? Like,
It's like a beetle with gross, like, I don't know, legs. He's got these gross, nasty legs, and
this
he
thing is
just starts to act. The
nasty.
way it moves is so weird, too. And like when you're biting it and the way it wiggles is just so, it's definitely like nightmare fuel.
Yeah, this thing is like, ugh, this thing is like a Castlevania boss. It's not like a Zelda boss. It's gross, it's squishy, it's slimy,
Ew.
it's a nasty little fella, actually.
I don't know how its little wings keep it up. It's
Yeah, I
got
don't
tiny
know.
wings.
Now, I actually think that this is a pretty cool boss fight, that being said, and I like that it's like your last boss fight that you ever have to do before, like while you're collecting tears, or I was about to say the tears of the kingdom, the tears of light, for Twilight Princess. So it is kind of like rewarding to, you know what I mean, to like get like some closure to the Tears of Light thing by taking out like a
Yeah,
cool mini
true.
boss. And I think that the setting is pretty cool too. Like it's just on Lake Hylia, you're still Wolf Link. It's pretty cool. Like you can, I don't know. It's again, it's not super involved, not super hard, but I think that it's like pretty fun. And like the sound design, I think particularly is really great. Like when you jump on this big nasty bug and you're biting him, and like the squishing sounds and stuff like that. It's just like it sounds really good. It's very satisfying. Setting is cool. Fight itself is cool. Not super complicated or anything like that. But I don't know. I mean, like you. Like we said last week when we were talking about Beast Ganon, it's like it's kind of nice to like use Wolf Link, which is like the central gimmick of the game, in order to fight some like legitimate bosses. So like kind of the same idea here. Obviously the Karkarok didn't quite hit, but I do think that the Twilight Bloat hits, and you got to use your wolf abilities to hit all the same things at the same time. It's a good little boss fight. And actually, I'm not sure where I would rank it on our current list right now, Al. So I might be susceptible to your influence here.
I went ahead and stuck it in third place because I think that Dangoro is definitely a lot more fun. I had a feeling that I might have to fight with you on Ook. I would probably put it above Ook personally, but I was thinking third would probably be good.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think I would have pushed back. I think I would have pushed back for Ook. Justice for Ook. Yeah, like
Justice for Oog.
No, you know what? You're right. Let's put him below Ook. I do appreciate this fight though. Like it is a pretty fun fight, and I don't know, just the like I said, the thing that sticks out the most to me is just like the sounds. Like I can't get them out of my head, actually. Like
The thing that sticks out to me is how it wiggles when you're biting it, and I think it's really weird looking.
it's nasty. This is a nasty boss. Nasty time fighting this boss. But that being said, like so our ranking right now for mini bosses in Twilight Princess, number one is Dangoro, number two Ook, number three the Twilight Bloat, number four the Shadow Karkarok. There is a massive drop from number three to number four. Like that's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going here. Let's talk about the Deku Toad. What are your thoughts on the Deku Toad?
I'm mostly trying to remember the Deku Toad, so I know that it gets up on the ceiling or like jumps really high and
That's
like
right.
it falls in the shadow, you have to like dodge out of the shadow. I know it gets eggs on its back.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think the biggest thing is that you get the hook shot and you have to hook shot its tongue, right? And the tongue comes out and you attack the tongue.
Yeah, you pretty much described the whole boss fight, yeah.
Okay, cool. I was just trying to remember it 'cause it's actually been a while since I played Twilight Princess. I know it's been a couple years for you as well, but yeah, I think this is a fun fight. It mostly kind of just takes me back to other games that you fight a toad in, which is like Majora's Mask, stuff
Yeah.
like that. So it kind of takes me back. So I like the nostalgia about it, but it's also like really big and creepy looking. And it's not really in my favorite dungeon, but I do kind of like think it's a fun time.
Right.
But it's not as memorable as other mini bosses. So I wouldn't care so much if this was lower on their list.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. I think that this boss is okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. And you're probably right. Like it's in Lake Bed, which to me is just kind of like working against it almost because it's like, yeah, like lake bed, damn. But like the actual boss itself is okay. Like it's satisfying smooshing all of the eggs. And like, I think it's fun enough actually like rolling out of the way as it drops. It's kind of got that like Blizzetta thing to a much lesser urgency and a much, much lesser extent. But I kind of do feel like there were some really fun frog boss fights in Majora's Mask that I look back on like favorably. And this one is just kind of like, okay, like I think it's like a lesser version of those fights to me.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like I guess this is going to sound silly because I think on one hand, like the design of this frog looks, you know, like exactly like what you would expect a big mini boss frog to look like, or toad, excuse me. But I think maybe it could have been a little bit cooler looking, like a little bit more, I don't know, gross or something, like kind of like the bloat was, you know, like
it's a big frog, big nasty lips.
Yeah, I don't know.
And a weird lolling tongue. I like his little like antennae. I think those are kind of cool looking. I think he looks fine personally.
He kind of looks like the like blurpy antennas actually.
Bloopy.
What did I just say? Blurpy.
Blurpy.
What's a blurpy? Isn't that like a workout thing?
No, that's a burpee.
Oh boy.
You like mix burpee and bloopy.
All right. Well, that being said, yeah, I don't know. Like this toad. He's okay.
It's definitely better than Shadow Kargarok, though.
Of course, yes. Shadow Kargarok, I really feel like there's not a single thing that's going to rank lower than that. Like, we could probably just put, like, that at the bottom of the list, because I don't know what's going to go lower than that. But I would say that I think, so 1, 2, and 3 are Dangoro, Ook, and the Twilight Bloat. I would think that Deku Toad goes below those three. What would you say?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That's where I'm at, too.
The Deku Toad is in fourth place right now, and perennially in last place is still, unfortunately, our boy, the Shadow Kargarok. So, sorry about that. All right, let's move on to Skull Kid. I don't know, actually. I have some competing thoughts about Skull Kid, and I guess it kind of depends on, like, where you think that this mini boss fight actually starts. Because if it actually starts when you get to the lower sanctum of the Lost Woods, and then you're fighting Skull Kid, it's okay. But if you factor in, like, does it start when you get into the Lost Woods and you have to track him down and you have to hit him a couple times in order to trigger that, then I think that's a different conversation. So
I was under the impression we were the whole shebang, like the whole portion that you spend with him is right. Fighting him. Yeah.
And I think, and that's why I brought that up, because I think if you take everything, the entire sum of the parts, I think that it is lower on my list. But if you were to take just that final segment, I think it's a little bit higher. Well, I just like, maybe I suck, okay? But like, when I go to the Lost Woods and I'm looking for this Skull Kid, I feel like I'm just like running around like an idiot for forever.
Well, that's the point. It's the Lost Woods and you're supposed to use like, I know this is difficult, especially at the marathon, but you're supposed to use, like, visual and audio cues. You're supposed to hear the music louder
as
you get closer. You're supposed to see the little lights, you know.
I get it. Trust me. I do. But and by the way, you have to do this twice in the game.
Yes.
Twice, which stinks. Yeah. But, like, the tracking down wouldn't be so bad. But, like, imagine you're in Ocarina of Time trying to navigate your way through the Lost Woods, and you've got, like, 16 Skull Kid puppets that are on top of you, and you're just like, leave me alone!
I think those are, like, have very satisfying sounds, though.
They
like,
do.
They are really annoying, and generally when I'm playing, I try to move as fast as I can around them so I don't have to fight them. But when you do have to fight them, they are, like, very satisfying to fight.
Yes, I mean, I do agree, and obviously, I'm trying to move my fastest as well. And I'm a fast Twilight Princess player, by the way.
Oh, yes.
So I'm like, I'm trying to find where Skull Kid is hiding. And it's just like, oh, God. And it feels like the first part just takes forever. And like, I kind of know that's the point, whatever. But like, it's not enjoyable to me, particularly because you got to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Again. And it's just like, ugh.
I'm going to go for me personally, I'm gonna go off the premise of the whole encounter, not how many times you have to do it. And I think the premise is actually really cool. Like the fact that you have to hunt him down and you have to use all these different cues to figure it out. The fact that he's hunting you with his little puppet friends as well, and then the fact you get to the end and you actually get to fight him. Like I think that it's very involved, and it's more than just, oh, you're in a small space and you're just, wailing on the boss fight. It takes some
All right.
strategy, it takes some puzzle solving, So I think that's pretty cool. I would
Yeah.
personally put this above Ook.
No way. No way. I'm so no way. Not a chance. Okay, so even like yes, you're right. Looking at it from the perspective like the whole thing, not the amount of times I have to do this. I think that I don't know, like the fight itself, like I think that the arena is pretty cool, like you're in the ruins of the Lost Woods and like the Temple of Time and everything like that. So that's a cool setting, but by that point, like I feel like I'm just kind of over the fight, which always kind of works against it a little bit. And again, like I feel like the fight is kind of just like waiting for Skull Kid to like appear or in a spot where you can hit him, which obviously is the point, but like I guess like at that point I'm just like so over like fighting all of his puppets that it's kind of like eh, like yeah. So like I think that the
Are you
fight on one hand,
also like putting it in the context that you're trying to get it done as fast as possible because you're playing it at the marathon?
yeah, I mean that's valid. That's definitely valid, right? Like, and that definitely has a impact on how I would play it. But like, even if I wasn't though, like I think I'd still want to get this part done quickly. Just to get to the next temple. So I don't know, like the fight itself I think is okay. Getting there I think is pretty brutal. When I kind of weigh those two together, I could suggest that I think it's better than the Deku Toad.
Okay, I'm okay with it. That's where I was thinking we were gonna put it.
I think that Skull Kid looks cool. I think that
Ooka
the
does look cool.
lantern like
I love the end when you hit it for the last time and like he like goes to the doorway and the doorway like opens or like dissipates or whatever and he just like runs in and he's like, "Thanks for playing with me," and I just think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm being a little bit too harsh on Skull Kid here, but I don't know. It is hard for me to separate what happens beforehand and like the two times that you have to do this from the actual like boss fight itself. And like I don't think that anybody listening to this, if they were really being honest, would be like it's a fantastic boss fight. I think you could say it's a fantastic setting, beloved character, but like as a boss fight, it's just kind of like it's fine, right? Like so, yeah, I feel like I'm ranking him a bit low, but sorry. Let's move on. Let's move on. This one, I think that we could agree is the next couple actually are definitely like a step up here.
Yes.
So let's go to Death Sword. What a
Death
name,
sword.
Death Sword.
So cool. That sounds like I'm about ready to go to some like heavy metal rock, like screamo metal rock band.
Death
Death sword and
Sword.
like banging my head.
Yeah. So this guy's got like the Cloud Strife Buster Sword going on here. This looks awesome. This is a cool fight. Yeah, it's like it's kind of cool because you need to use a mixture of Wolf Link and regular Link. And I like that. Like and it's a two-part fight too. Like just when you think you've defeated him, he kind of comes back and comes back for a little bit more. So Arbiter's Grounds I think is one of the greatest dungeons in the series. I think that like obviously the I think in most other dungeons, actually, like this is a classic example where you could look at this and be like, man, this mini boss is way better than the regular boss. It's just that Arbiter's boss has one of the best bosses in the series too. So again, a really strong entry here. The design of Death Sword is awesome. The arena where you fight Death Sword is awesome. The music is awesome. The fight, I think, is really involved. I have no problem putting this at number one on our list right now.
Okay, good. This is my number one of the whole list. So I just think he looks so
Oh.
cool, and I love that it kind of is combining the essence of the pose with the essence of
Yes.
Star Lord in later for the boss fight. You have to use Wolf Link to kind of sense him and see him. He like does this like sweep around a lot, and then when he stops, you got to shoot him, and then you can go wail on him. And it's just he's so cool looking, and his movements are awesome. The music is awesome. I also like have no idea what he really is. Like he's just a sealed spirit and doesn't. in my opinion, fit a lot of like the Zelda games. So he's just kind of an oddball like mini boss, but I think he's so cool for it, you know? So I would put him at number one because this is definitely one where I look forward to it, where like Arbiter's Ground is such a cool dungeon, has a cool mini boss, has the best like dungeon Fantastic. Boss. So like it's such a fun time. I always look forward to this point in Twilight Princess when I play. So
yeah,
this is number one for me for sure.
100%. Now, I don't know if I'm going to say that this is going to be my number one overall, because I don't know. Like, I think that there's some other contenders that maybe I could persuade you on and show list off some of their qualities. But we'll get there, I guess. I will get there. Okay, so Death Sword is the new mini-boss champion for Twilight Princess here. And we should probably just go through our list really quickly. So at... how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So at number one, we have Death Sword. At number two, we have Dangoro. Number three, we have Ook. Number four, we have the Twilight. How do you say Twilight?
Twilight.
Twilight. Why don't they just say Twilight? I don't know why they do that. We have the, you know what? Damn it. I'm calling them the Twilight Bloat. The Twilight Bloat is at number four. Number five is Skull Kid. Number six is Deku Toad. And the last place is the Shadow Kargarok. Let's talk about, Darkhammer. So this is the... This is the mini boss from Snowpeak Ruins, and I think that this is a really, really quality mini boss, and I'm gonna put the cart before the horse here and say that I'd probably put this at number two actually, because I think that number one, the item that he has is very like it's very intimidating. It reminds me of like when you're playing 2D Zelda games and you've got the ball and chain guards that sometimes you need to take out, and I feel like those are always intimidating enemies to me. In 2D Zelda. So I kind of like that it's like that kind of enemy brought to life in a modern 3D game. You don't see that a whole lot. So I think that that's cool. I like the design just of Darkhammer. He's just like this big, bulky, beefy, meaty, like Lizalfo that you need to attack. But what I think really puts this fight over the top for me is the arena where you fight, because it's very closed off, it's very claustrophobic, and it feels really dangerous. And when you get hit, like, you get pummeled. And there's kind of, like, an inherent risk-reward between, like, you know, I'm going to claw shot right through the ball and chain, and if I get it, I'm going to land right behind him and be able to strike, but if I don't, I'm going to get a ball right to the face, and I'm going to go flying the other way. So I think that this fight is pretty cool. Like, I quite like this fight. The setting, the boss itself, very cool. I think it's a cool fight.
It is a pretty cool fight. I feel like whenever I get to this point in the game, it always takes me back to Ocarina of Time when you're fighting the Darkna in the Spirit Temple, or is it Dark Knuckle or Iron Knuckle? One of those. And it's in like this room, and you kind of like it's like. I don't know, kind of like a throne room. I just kind of felt the same vibe. You just go into this room and there's this like big behemoth monster in there trying to wail on you, and it's kind of got the same amount of power. So it always took me back to Ocarina of Time. But I think
in the
it's
forest
like,
temple, that little room at the beginning?
No. In the Spirit Temple when you're fighting the Dark Nut.
Oh yeah, yeah. That is cool.
Yeah. So, and like you said, the item's awesome. He's like this giant lizard in armor, so you can't just like go attacking him straight on, especially while he's swinging the hammer. The giant ball and chain. It also takes me back to Aghanim a little bit from A Link to the Past. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have to kind of strategize, you know, use the claw shot to hit the ceiling and move over him and like dodge and then hit his tail and whatnot. So there's just, like, a lot of cool aspects to it. I think that you get the ball and chain, though, and that's, like, a lot of fun. So then I tend to forget, like, where I got it from. So I'm, like, over here, like, wailing on stuff, having fun with the boss fight, and I forgot that I did this other cool mini boss fight. So sometimes it's a little less memorable than other things you're doing in that dungeon. So I wouldn't rank it. I don't think I would rank it number two. Maybe I'd rank it number three.
I could be fine with that. Dangoro is a pretty sweet boss. That's totally fine. So Darkhammer is gonna go in the number three position there. Appropriate. I mean, I think you could probably say that this is a better boss fight than Ook, even though it doesn't have like the same kind of story implications. But you're right though. Like there, I think the ball and chain is like one of the most underrated items in Zelda for how fun it is. Because like everybody talks about the spinner, and rightfully so. Like that's fun. It's a really fun item. You don't use it a ton outside the dungeon, but I don't care. But like, yeah, just the ball and chain is just so great. Just to like whip around and you're breaking stuff and everything like that. I quite like that item. So maybe that's, you know, a little bit of bias on my end too for this boss. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the Dark Nut from the Temple of Time. So the Dark Nuts in this game look awesome. Definitely. They look really cool. Maybe not. I might suggest that they don't look as cool to me as they do in Ocarina of Time, but that's maybe just more of like a, like graphically, of course they look better, but I just find that there's something charming about those big blocky Ocarina of Time Dark Nuts. Mm-hmm. But I will say, and the fight is hard too, especially if you don't have any hidden skills. Right. So I like that. Something that does kind of work against me or for me though for this fight is like, I don't know. Like I've always kind of been a fan of like more unique mini bosses rather than like that one powerful enemy that shows up for the first time and but you like fight it regularly over the course of the game after that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of takes away from Dark Nut a little bit for me, and from the next mini boss too, by the way. But I think that kind of takes away from the Dark Nut a little bit for me. So I would be eyeing more towards middle of the pack, but it is a dangerous fight. Like it's like and there are multiple times where I've been, you know, speed running to the best of my abilities, got to this guy, no hidden skills, not very many hearts. It's tough, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I would also say middle of the pack as well, because you're right. Like you do have to fight more of them later. But I think like the setting is pretty cool, the big room. I think if you have a lot of hidden skills, it's a really fun time to use them. So you're like, ooh, what could I use? Could I do like the little roll and slash him in the back, which is usually what I do, or the helm splitter is so friggin' cool.
Yeah.
So like you get to use a little bit of strategy, and then if you don't have hidden skills, you got to use a lot more strategy. Oh, you got to use a lot more duck and weaving and blocking, and he hits hard, so even when you block, like you kind of stumble a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And then as you knock armor pieces off, he is just like over it, and he freaking chucks his sword at you, which is like
that's awesome,
cinematically
too.
Cool.
he just like throws like a boomerang. That's great. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and he pulls out another sword, and you're like, oh my god, okay, well now he's faster, and I also like the way he moves, and you, like a swordsman, so you gotta move with him. So, I think it's cool, because it's like, you have to be strategic as a swordsman against it, instead of like, you know, using items and whatnot, so I think it's fun, but, like you said, there are more later on, so it makes it a little less unique, so I would say it's kind of more middle of the pack as well. I personally, again, would put it over Ook, but
I was going to suggest that I actually might put it below the Twilight Bloat.
I don't know.
There's something so crunchy and so satisfying about the Bloat, whereas I don't know. I don't feel like the same satisfaction with the Dark Nut. You know what I'm saying?
Strategic sword fighting versus rolling into a pillar and slashing Ook's butt.
Yeah, right? That sounds great. I think you just sealed it. There's no way we could put Dark Nut above Ook.
I would put Dark Nut above Ook, personally.
Oh, okay. Come on, it's Ook. It's our boy.
You said you would put it over the Bloat or under the Bloat?
I would put it under the Bloat. That's where I was
looking. I think we're going to have to compromise and put it below Ook and above the Bloat.
Okay. I guess so. The Dark Nut is now in between Ook and the Bloat. I'd probably still put it below the Bloat, but I get it.
Still put it above Ook.
All right. We only got a couple left here, so let's keep on moving here. The Aralphos. Did I say that right?
Aralphos, yeah.
Aralphos? Aralphos. Mm-hmm. Aralphos. Yeah, this
you're
is
like
the
Lizalphos, but they're in the air.
They're in the air. Aralphos. Makes sense. Yeah. This is the mini boss that you fight in City of the Sky.
In the Sky.
You could probably take almost everything that we just said about the Dark Nut and apply it to this boss as well. Right? Because like you fight him a few more times.
Yeah. I'd say yes, but it's not as cool. Like it's not as cool as fighting like a trained
swordsman.
Yeah.
The thing Although, that's like, cool about this fight is I like that you can hook shot the shield, like the claw shot. That's really cool.
That's cool. But I was going to say his name.
This fight has a lot of waiting. It kind of reminds me of the Meta Ridley fight for Metroid Prime, actually, where it's like it's really cool while you're fighting it, but there's a lot of waiting around while it's flying around, waiting for it to come back, and you're just kind of like, okay, like let's get the show on the road here.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's, especially in the environment that it is in, it kind of flies in and out of the holes in the wall, which is, like, kind of fun. But, right. Yeah, you are kind of waiting a lot. And I think, like you said, it's, you do have to fight them more in the future, so that kind of takes away from the uniqueness. But it is unique that you have to claw shot the shield to get them near and, like, take them off their guard, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, it's kind of like, it's definitely a middle of the pack for me. Definitely below.
It's below the Dark Knight. Bloat.
Yeah, below Bloat for me.
Okay, I could agree with that. Yeah. And by the way, I did not know this until literally right this second that the Arolfos shows up in Triforce Heroes. Did you know that?
I can't remember.
It's called the Super Arolfos, I guess. It's not even a one and done. But I do think, like, it's unfortunately, like, one of those bosses where, like, I think you fight more, like, immediately in City in the Sky. So, like, at least the Dark Knight is just, like, the one in Temple of Time. But, like, there's a few more of these guys in City of the Sky. Like, I think you fight two of them at one point, right? When you're looking to get the claw shot? Or do you fight two of them right away? I can't remember now.
I can't remember at this point. I remember them being in Hyrule Castle. That's where I remember fighting more. Yes,
yeah. There's definitely more that come in Hyrule Castle. Yeah, I definitely try and block out City in the Sky. Pretty much everything that you do, everything that I can, I try not to remember. Okay, so we have on our list right now at number one, Death Sword. Number two, Dan Goro. Number three, the Dark Hammer. Number four is Ook. Number five is the Dark Knight. Number six is Twilight Bloat. Number seven is Arolfos. Number eight is Skull Kid. Number nine is the Deku Toad. And coming in at number 10, dead last. There's no way that he is not finishing last, is our pal, the Shadow Kargarok. Too bad for this guy, hey? Like, well, you're talking about how great the boss fights are and the mini boss fights are, but unfortunately that one is a little bit of a stinker here. Okay, let's go ahead. I'm curious about this one. So let's talk about Shadow Zant, or Phantom Zant, actually, is what his official name is. So you fight Phantom Zant in the Palace of Twilight, which I feel like is kind of a weird dungeon in and of itself. I feel like this is kind of a weird fight in and of itself, because, like, he basically summons a bunch of, like, Twilight monsters for you to fight. He warps around the room. It feels like it could take a long time to actually, like, track down this boss. And I think you have to fight him twice, right? Like, because you have to do it with each room that you take the ball from. So, or maybe it's just once. I can't remember. Either way, like, I feel like the fight does take kind of a long time. I think the fight looks cool. It's like a, like, Puppet Zant or Shadow Zant or whatever it looks like. Cool. Like, he's hologram and he's teleporting around and stuff like that. It's very frantic, just like the regular Zant fight. I don't know that I would rank this one super high, though. Like, that being said, like, I think the arena's kind of meh. I think the fight's kind of meh. You wait around for him a lot. It's hard to hit him, too, because you have to clear the distance of the room really quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one's kind of like, yeah.
This is, it's interesting. You do have to fight him twice, pretty sure. And, because he's protecting each orb, or whatever.
Yeah.
What he really does is just summon a bunch of monsters, and then once he's done summoning, once you defeat the monsters, you can go and attack him. And it was funny, because I was thinking about this last week, as I was trying to think of, like, combining Zant all together, including this Phantom Zant, because it's so hard to rank Zant when he does a lot of the same boss stuff.
Yeah.
So I was trying to include this in it as well, where he does have a little bit of uniqueness at the beginning with this mini boss, but also at the end where he's just going nuts in that big golden arena.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not the best boss mini boss fight. I think it kind of prepares you for him in a way a little bit for his like hecticness and for like his weird noises and for his weird movements.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's not as involved or cool or unique as a lot of other of the mini bosses are. I would have a hard time placing this though, to be honest.
I have an idea about where I might place it, and it's pretty low, actually.
Okay.
I think I'm looking at this list, and I'm just like, okay, the Dark Knight fight, it is what it is, but like that's a cool, it's a cool fight. It's pretty engaging. It's pretty challenging. It's not going to put it above Dark Knight. Below that, I'm like, well, at least Twilight Blow, like you're using your Wolf Link abilities. It's kind of like an inspired setting. The sound design is great. There's some satisfaction that you get from it. It's not frustrating. So I'm not going to put it above the Blow either. I do kind of look at Aralphos, and I'm actually looking at our list, and I think I'd be actually tempted to move Aralphos down below Skull Kid.
I was thinking the same thing.
So I'm let's just do that, actually. Let's just do that. Because I was like, there's no way that I'm gonna put this fight above Skull Kid, even though Skull Kid kind of annoys me.
Yeah.
So the question now is, like, is this fight better than Aralphos?
Yes, I think so.
I think so, too.
I think because of the setting, it is better. Okay.
Not much, but, like, I think it's in the same conversation. Like, it's so, like, if you wanted to put Aralphos above, it wouldn't really bother me. But, like, I think they're, like, the same kind of tier of here. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I think that Skull Kid, the Bloat, Dark Knight are, like, a tier above.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so we're almost done here then. We've only got one more left. Or do we, like, in fact, have a couple more left? I'm not really sure. How do we want to rank the next and last mini-boss fight? Because you actually fight King Bulbin several times. And at the ZD guide here, it's just kind of combined all of these fights into one. But I would suggest to you... that I love this fight. I would probably put it at number one on the whole list. And that's kind of cheating because, again, it's kind of an amalgamation of all the different four fights. But, like, when you take a look at it, I think all four fights are, like, really, really awesome in their own way. Like, the first fight, you track him down. You're racing across Hyrule Field. You're riding on Epona, your sword is up, and you're fighting him and fighting him. And of course, you get the fantastic showdown on the Bridge of Eldin, where you gotta, you know, use your lands, or, you know, he's using his lance, you're using his sword, or your sword to showdown and have, like, a classic knight's duel. So that's fantastic. So I love that fight. The second fight... Yeah, the second fight is okay. It's basically just the same as the first, where it's just like you're on the Bridge of Eldin again. But now you've got a bow, so you can cheat a little bit, and you can use that to your advantage. The third fight, though, I think is, like, super cool, because, like, this is the one where he has, like, that ginormous axe. You're in the Arbiter's Grounds. He lights the place on fire. That's a sweet fight. But the coup de grace is that wicked fourth fight in Hyrule Castle, where it's just like mano a mano. It's like the rain's coming down, the Twilight Castle's in the background, and it's just like one last time. Like, it's not even a word exchange. You're just like, oof, oof. And you go up and you fight, and it's hard. It's a great fight. The setting, the music is awesome. And he takes, like, so much damage. You're just slashing the hell out of this guy, like, multiple slashes, and he still keeps on coming. And then the ending is awesome, because you finally defeat this guy that's been, like, just following you and trying to get you for the entire game, and you finally prove to him that you are, in fact, the superior warrior, and he's like, I respect you, I will leave. And I was like, that's great. That's the best character development in the whole game. I love the King Bulbin fight. I really do. I think it's, like, the best mini fight in the game. It's one of my favorite parts of Twilight Princess. He's one of my favorite characters in Twilight Princess. I would campaign for this fight to be at number one. And I think I could successfully campaign, even if we were just talking about the last fight, that this should be a number one. However, that's my shilling here, Al. What do you think?
I think if we combine them all into one, and I think we should, then it could, I think I'd be okay with it being at number one place. But let me give you some counters.
Okay? I'm listening.
The horse part, you do it with Ganondorf, right?
Right.
You do the bridge part twice.
That's right.
You you fight him one-on-one twice, and it's very similar to the Ganondorf fights.
That's right.
So that's my only issue, is like when you have Death Sword, who's so unique and so different, you know, it's really out there, really makes me feel like it deserves the number one spot. But there is the story elements to King Bulbin. There is some character growth, as you say. My only problem is that they're just preparing you for other things that you're going to do later on in the game.
Yeah. This is my other counterpoint about Death Sword, though. I think that with Death Sword, not to the same extent, of course, but you have already fought three Poes ahead of Death Sword, and you do fight multiple other Poes in the game. Granted, they're not the same level of competition as Death Sword.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you got a little, like, something there, too, where, it is preparing you for something that you can do in the game. Now, I do feel like if we are lumping all of these together, that is a little bit unfair, you know, because it gives it, like, an unfair advantage over, over like, Death Sword or Dangor or something like that. So I am willing to concede a little bit there that, yeah, that's probably, it's not an equal footing, so to speak.
Right.
I don't know. I just love King Bulbin, man. I love him. He's awesome. I
think it's hard because if you really think about it, like, number one would probably be pretty high. That first encounter would probably be high. Second encounter would probably be really low, actually, because it's very similar to...
It would be.
First fight. Third encounter would probably be high, and then the fourth encounter would probably be, like, the highest. So, yeah. I honestly think that since it's kind of all over the list, it's okay to combine into one and put him at the top.
You think so?
Yeah.
You said it, not me.
I don't know if anybody else is going to agree with us on that. But
I don't care. I love King Bulbin, man. There's four fights in all of them. Even the second fight, which is undoubtedly the worst of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even that fight, I feel like is still, like, pretty fun. Because at least, like, it's not kind of a pain in the butt like the first. Like, the first fight, I really struggle with, like, trying to actually, like, hit the guy while we're jousting on the bridge. Where the second fight, I'm just like, yeah, let's have an honorable knights battle. I've got my bow and arrow. I'm going to snipe you. So at least it's, like, kind of over quickly.
Yeah.
So I will say that, I don't know. I do think that one is definitely the weakest of the bunch. But the other three, I think, are just so strong that it's awesome.
Yeah. I personally, my favorites are the first and the last.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I think because that's, like, really shows the growth of him taking Colin or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what does he do? He's like, yeah, come get me. And then you have to chase him all around Hyrule Field and then Twilight. Yeah. And then you do the showdown on the bridge, which is super cool. And then at the end, it's like the final showdown, right?
Oh,
and
it's very good.
It's very similar to the Dark Knight. It's very similar to fighting Ganondorf, the last phase of Ganondorf. So, I like both of those fights. Like, yeah. I like the strategic swordsmanship that you need to use. If you have the hidden skills, it's a lot of fun. So I'm okay just the sake of making this quick and painless, putting it all together and at top. But we could just rank them all differently if you want.
No, I'm okay. I mean, if you're saying let's put it at the top, I'm going to put it at the top. That's totally fine with me.
Quick and dirty.
And you know what? The thing about Bulbin, too, is, like, you know that I'm not really a ginormous fan of, like, repeating boss fights in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this one works for me for whatever reason. And it is worth mentioning, too, that, like, the final fight in particular, you can get up there and you can, like, slash, spin, spin, slash, slash, and you can get in this rhythm. And it's just, like, you are just giving it to this guy. But he's just, like, this tank, and he's just there taking it, but he's stunned and he can't attack you back. It's a fantastic feeling. It's a great sequence. That I really love. So yeah, I would campaign for Bulbin at number one, and I think that's a good spot for Bulbin too. Particularly again, because like I said at the very beginning, I do have a soft spot for the mini bosses that are like characters as well, like the Ooks and the Dangoros of the world. And I feel like Bulbin is kind of a mix of everything that we like here.
Yeah, he's definitely got a character that has to do with like the world. So. And you know what? It does say something that you could just, like, beat him over and over and over again, and he still takes it, and then he still comes back for more. So, he's clearly very powerful.
He's, like, a great, like, James Bond henchman. You know what I mean? Like the henchman that Bond keeps on fighting and fighting and fighting before he finally gets to the main villain. And at the end, you're just, the henchman's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not, this isn't worth it. Like,
I'm over it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that being said, let's go and recap our mini boss list here for Twilight Princess. And we'll start, there are 12 bosses here by my count. So I'm hoping that I counted right. We don't get to number one and I'm like, ooh. So starting backwards, number 12, we got the shadow Kargarok. This poor guy. He's last place by like such a mile too, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy. Number 11, we've got the Deku Toad. Number 10, we've got the Aerophil. I forget how to say this guy's name already.
Aeralphos.
Number 9, we've got Phantom Zant. Number 8, we've got Skull Kid. Number 7, we've got the Twilight Bloat. Number 6, we've got the Dark Knot. Number 5, we've got Ook. Number 4, we've got the Dark Hammer, excuse me. Number 3, we've got Dangoro. Number 2, we've got Death Sword. And coming in at number 1, our boy, King Bulbin. Good stuff.
Oh, good job, King Bulbin. You did it.
Good stuff. As it should be, I think. So yeah, there we go. The Twilight Princess mini boss is ranked. And now we've ranked every single boss in this game, so we probably won't talk about Twilight Princess for a little bit.
Yeah. We did a good job. We did a service to Twilight Princess for 2 weeks in a row.
Enjoy these shows. You know, like I said, people sometimes complain that we beat up on Twilight Princess too much, but we have honored the bosses of this game for the last 2 weeks in a row here, so yeah, that's may never happen again. I don't know, but tell us what you think of our ranking here. We're gonna be back. So actually, on tap for the next couple weeks here, we're finally getting around to doing a full dedicated show about Horizon Forbidden West. And if you're thinking that you're not really into that show, there's a lot of like really strong parallels between that game and Tears of the Kingdom, I think, and things that I think Forbidden West did as like a sequel that Tears of the Kingdom maybe could have done or avoided doing as well. So that's going to be a really interesting conversation. That's going to have a lot more to do with Tears of the Kingdom than I think people might think just hearing us talk about Forbidden West. So that's coming up. We're going all the way back. We're talking about the original Legend of Zelda coming up. And at some point, we're going to do a Nintendo Switch retrospective too, but we're waiting for maybe a little bit of news on that front as well. And then as we creep towards the 1 year anniversary of Tears of the Kingdom, we're going to be revisiting some of the you know, our thoughts and whatever on that game 1 year later. So that's coming up as well. But yeah, let us know what you think of our mini-boss list. And if you agree with our ranking of Bulbin and Death Sword and the poor Kargarok, let us know. Just to mention again, there is a new podcast in town. It's coming out later this month. And it's called The Spiteri's Review. It's my wife and I reviewing shows, movies, stuff that we've went to and that we've liked. We're doing a reviews in September, actually, and it's going to be really wild and something that I don't think anybody's expecting. So make sure that you go and check that out when it's available on podcast platforms. Again, probably coming up later this month, but it is going to come up, and I'm really excited about this podcast, and I think that everyone is going to have like a super, super cool time watching it or listening to it, rather. So make sure that you check that out. I guess that's it for us, Al. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
I have no plugging to do. I don't do any other extracurriculars outside this.
Well, I do enough plugging for both of us, I guess. Okay, well, that being said, my friends, we are going to get out of here. But of course, we want you to check us out over on Twitter, over on Blue Sky, at The Zeldcast, at Spiteri316, at Allison Aletha. Give us a follow, you know, interact with us. It's cool. Join our Discord. You say hello. Get involved in the Zeldcast discussion. We have lots and lots and lots of talk and chatter and stuff like that going on all week, and we try and be pretty active in there, so get out on there and come and hang out with us. Check us out wherever you get your podcast. Like, subscribe, rate, recommend, review, all that stuff. You know the line. If you got a Zelda fan in your life, tell them about the Zelda cast tell them where they can get their weekly Zelda fix. We got a Patreon too. We got bonus shows over on SPNet, so go and check that out. And hey, as well as I mentioned earlier, all 13 episodes of the original Legend of Zelda cartoon that Goo and I did for Virtual Theater are going to be making their way to SPNet in the next couple of days here. So be on the lookout for that. And I think that's it. I think that's all the plugging that we got to do. So that being said, my friends, I hope that you all have an amazing week. And we will see you back here next week for some Inspired by Zelda talk. So until then, my friends, ciao.